All right, we're recording now.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm just going to jump into introducing the interview here. Today is June 28th, 2022. It is 11:15 right now, and we're sitting here with... do you want to use your full name, or do you want to remain anonymous, or
use my full name.
Full name. Okay, we're sitting here with Madison Bond, doing an interview for the Chapel Hill Public Library's Pandemic Stories Project. We're in the Chapel Hill Public Library. One of the ways that since this is sort of like a space that we are trying to kind of use to let people reflect on the last 2 years, the first thing that I want to do is just kind of open it up to you and see if is anything that you've been thinking about recently, or anything that you want to sort of use this space to reflect on. Before I jump into my questions, I just wanted to see if you have any direction you want to go in to start out with.
No, I think I'll probably expand through the questions as far as the pandemic is concerned.
Yeah.
But there's nothing particularly on my mind this morning.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Well, as we're going along, you're welcome to say pass to any questions you don't want to answer. We might not stick totally to just these questions here. I might ask you some follow-up questions and stuff, but
gotcha.
And you're also, at any point you can sort of redirect the conversation however you want.
Okay.
To get us kind of warmed up and get us kind of in the mindset of the last couple of years, I want to first ask you if you can describe the different stages of the pandemic as you experienced them.
Yeah, so first you have the initial fear of, catching COVID and dying. And then that was kind of followed by everyone staying in the house. I just remember the streets being empty, the grocery stores being empty type thing. And listening to all the crazy stories of people wearing a mask but not gloves, wearing gloves but no mask, things of that manner. And then it came to a period where people were kind of back and forth about wearing the mask. Just remembering how everyone was so adamant about making someone change their mind about whether you're going to wear the mask or not, whether you're going to get the vaccine or not. Then I started working at a new job, and so I would encounter a lot of people who came in without a mask on and try to convince others, not to wear their mask, things of that manner. And then we get to a place where I guess people got tired of COVID and they just started throwing the mask off altogether. And this is where I guess the vaccine was being pushed more, approved more. And so everyone was talking about the vaccine very heavily. Yeah, I just kind of break it up like that.
Yeah.
It was a lot going on during that time. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you been in this area for the duration of the pandemic?
No, I was in Durham.
Okay.
For the beginning of the pandemic. It started in 2020. I was in Durham, and I was working two jobs. I was working two jobs and in graduate school and a teacher assistant.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Can you tell me more about what that, so how long was that phase? How long were you living in Durham doing all that stuff?
I was in Durham since probably maybe the beginning of 2019.
Okay.
And I was in graduate school and I was getting a little scholarship from my graduate program, but it really wasn't enough. And so I was originally working at Walmart, and the scheduling just became too difficult to continue working at Walmart and being in graduate school. So I picked up 2 part-time jobs instead. I don't know what I was thinking about, honestly. I was working at Best Buy as like a merchandiser. So I would get there around like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my gosh.
And then I would get off of work, go to the school, you know, study, write. Some days I would be a teacher assistant. I would go to class. And then in the evenings, I would go to Cato's and I would work there. And then at one point in time, I got really good at it. And I was going to Best Buy in the morning. And in the few hours I had in between, I was running Postmates. And
oh my
then,
gosh.
I was getting really good. So I was doing a lot.
Yeah.
There were weeks I did not sleep. So I was really glad when the pandemic came around and they started paying us for not going to work. And I just remember first we had to stop going to the school. I took my comprehensive exams during the pandemic as well. And so usually that's done inside of a classroom. We have to get green books and, you know, write. But this time what they allowed us to do was stay at home and do our comprehensive exams on the computer. And so I remember waking up early and getting myself together. And then at 9 o'clock, as soon as 9 o'clock hit, I opened up my computer and I did my comprehensive exams. And I stayed in the same spot the whole time from 9 until, I think it was like maybe 4,
gosh.
Yeah, we get 8 hours to do the exam, a whole day. So, I stayed there. And when I was done, I remember one of my friends from the law school coming over to pick me up. And we had like a small party. And I remember my mom calling me and telling me like, well, what are you doing today? Oh, well, I think they're going to throw you a party. You shouldn't go because of COVID. And I'm just like, I'm going to this party. My sister was there. She came from Charlotte. And then it was my roommate and my best friend. It really wasn't a lot of people there because of COVID. So everyone had been like quarantining, you know, on their own. So that's why I was comfortable enough with going. Wow, I had forgotten all about that. Wow.
And so this was in March or?
I took my comprehensive exams in April.
Okay, so this is, gotcha.
April of 2020.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I know. Wow.
And then that phase of your life where you were living in Durham, working, I guess, 2.5 jobs.
Yeah.
Plus teaching,
mm-hmm.
Plus going to school. How long were you doing that?
I got hired with Best Buy in July of 2019. I think I started Cato's in 2019 as well. So I was doing it for a little bit.
Uh-huh.
It was nothing but a blessing.
So you didn't really go back after COVID started?
No.
Gotcha.
I did not. Not to say I did not want to go back, but my Best Buy job was a little difficult. It was iffy. And the Cato's job was fun. I enjoyed working at Cato's, actually. But it just didn't pay enough. And so, like, I really wanted a job that was going to pay enough where I would have time. Because during that time, yes, I was still in school and I was attending classes, but I wasn't able to get as much as my thesis writing done as I wanted to. I was really tired. And so when both of the jobs laid me off, and we could no longer, you know, go to the school. Thankfully, I was at the end of my classes during that time. So when both of those jobs laid me off and I was no longer going to the school, I kind of just took some time to rest and apply for jobs. And then that's when I started working in insurance, and I came over here to Chapel Hill. And I felt like I had gotten to a place where I could really take care of myself better because I was making more money. And I could develop like another skill outside of what I was doing in school. And so I kind of threw my time and energy into that job.
Yeah. When did you end up at the library?
November of last year, 2021.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I had worked at that job for a year and some change, and it was horrible. Oh. It was so bad. I have horror stories from that job. Yeah. Oh, involving COVID.
Really?
Yes. So,
oh my gosh, are you allowed to share any of them, or do you not want to?
I don't care. somebody should hear about it. But, yeah, so I worked there for a year and some change, and then that's when I got on at the library.
Yeah.
I have been wanting to get into a field where I could, you know, use things that I learned from my degree in. And so I was really happy that the library called me. Really happy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
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 Well, I know that the library is also very, very happy that you ended up here.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Amidst all of that, was there, I know that it seems like there were definitely some phases where you had a lot of, more personal time, and some phases where you had almost none.
Yeah.
What in the times that you were able to find some time for yourself, what did you do for fun? Did you take up any new hobbies?
I don't think I took up any new hobbies. honestly, thinking back, I don't even think I gave myself enough time to like really rest. I don't remember what I was doing specifically. I know I spent a lot of time with my friends and family during that time. Well, that's rest. I spent a lot of time with my friends and family, especially since, you know, we really couldn't go out anymore. 2019 was a whole different year for me and my friends. We were out and about, having a good time. So when 2020 came around, it just kind of like rained on our parade. So we did a lot of inside things with each other, and it was just during the time, I really want to say my best friend that's in law school, she was actually studying for her like last exams. So we were just really focusing on what were our next moves with everything. And so that's why I think I didn't give myself too much time to rest, because I was really looking for jobs during that time, because unemployment wasn't paying me on time. So yeah, I had to find some source of income. I do remember doing some deliveries during that time, and yeah, I think that's it. It really flew by. I wasn't in the mode where I didn't have anything to do for too long. My jobs let me go in, I want to say like May, June, and I got hired in insurance in August.
Mm-hmm.
So it was only a few months in between there. And then once I got into insurance, like I said, I just kind of threw myself into that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I didn't give myself too much time to just sit back and relax.
Yeah.
Like, I just felt like we don't know what's next, and so we can't just be stagnant.
Yeah,
that's where I was.
Mm-hmm. So in this time that you were, it sounds like the personal time that you did have, you would mostly spend it with you know, your the people in your life, your friends mm-hmm. and family. Did those relationships, do you feel like they were affected at all by the pandemic?
Probably just with, like, my immediate family and, like, the older people in my family more than anything. I wasn't really able to see my grandmother during the time. And my mom and dad were really adamant about us not coming home because we weren't vaccinated at the time. Well, there was no vaccination at the time, but because of, like, the threat, basically. And so, and they were really crazy about us, like, going anywhere and stuff. So, I mean, my friendships definitely got stronger. During that time, was I dating? 2020, I had just stopped dating, I think. I actually met my boyfriend in 2020. And so I was only talking to one person then. And we weren't like seeing each other like a lot. And that's because of COVID. So but that's about it. Other than that, I feel like my personal relationships never stopped.
Why do you think they got stronger?
Probably because we had less to do, and we could spend more time together. Like my friend that's in law school, well, she graduated, but she was always on the move, going back and forth home and things of that manner. And so she was able to stay in Durham, you know. And then with work, of course, laying everyone off, it was really nothing to do. So mm-hmm. we would all hang out together and things of that manner. Even like the sharing aspect, like around that time, you know, it wasn't really tissue out there. Mm. Certain things weren't on the shelves and stuff like that anymore. And so I just remember whenever I would go out, I would always call them to see what they needed. They would always call me to see what I needed. We ate together. We had dinner together a lot because we had the time to do so. Mm-hmm. Lunch together a lot. There were days we spent the whole day together. Yeah. We would stay over, things of that manner. So I think COVID, and it just made us slow down altogether. So, yeah.
But you weren't living with your best friend at the time?
No. So one of my best friends, she was living down the street. The other one was living with me. We were roommates. And so we would always go down the street to our other friend's house and we would stay there. And it was no rush to like leave. Oh, we didn't have to leave at night. We could stay over because we didn't have work in the morning. Things of that manner. Yeah. So, yeah, it was a good time for friends.
Yeah, those commutes, the commutes really, like, you sort of started to realize, like, how much time was freed up when you weren't, mm-hmm. when there weren't all of these sort of, like, you know, different transition things. Periods in your day, you know, yeah. when everything was just, you know, was happening yeah. in your home. You were just, like, you know, mm-hmm. if you were going to work, like in a lot of people's cases, or if you're doing school, like, you were doing it mm-hmm. from home. So right. it's just,
right.
yeah. It freed up a lot of time.
It was great.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I know a lot of people have negative things to say about COVID, but I appreciated how everything kind of just slowed down just for a little while. I do wish I could have saw, like, my parents and my grandmother a little more, but it was fun. Yeah. I was able to save money in some aspects. Mm-hmm. I didn't use as much gas to go everywhere. Yeah, it was okay.
Is there, when you're thinking back on, these last 2 and I guess almost 2.5 years, is there a moment that sort of stands out to you as something that you feel like is really going to stick with you for the rest of your life? Like, sort of a memory that is especially vivid in any context?
Hmm. Well, the first one that comes to mind was the insurrection on the Capitol at the beginning of the year. That one, even though that doesn't deal with COVID.
Yeah, I mean, this interview goes, that definitely doesn't have to just be about COVID. It's just about your life in general.
Yeah, that was shocking and led us right into COVID. And I just thought it was, really interesting how everything had played out, that people were able to get that far. And then on top of that, people being like just so shocked that this goes on in this country when it has happened before, you know? So that definitely. And then on like a personal note, when COVID came around, I had usually I like someone to plan my birthday, or I'll plan it and I just want a lot of people around me and stuff like that. And I didn't have that last year. It was not even last year. I didn't have that 2020. Something happened where a friend of a friend caught COVID. We didn't know if we had it because that friend, the friend of the friend, was near us at the moment. You know, it was just like we didn't know anything about it. And thus, we were scared that we automatically caught COVID. And so birthday plans got canceled. And it was just, while I had a good time, I was a little sad. But it made me think differently about my birthday since then. I did not plan it in 2020. And since 2020, I have been planning my own birthday and just been in charge of my own thing. Just because I don't want to get disappointed like that anymore. And I think it's the same thing, like, with what happened with COVID. You know, we set all of these plans to do, because I had so many plans for 2020. We set all of these plans to do in the future, and nobody knows the future. You know what I mean? Like, we can't just base everything off of what we want to do. We got to go with the flow. To some extent. And we also have to slow down. I'm probably going to say that multiple times during this interview. Like, if COVID taught me anything, it is important to just breathe for a little while, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a really interesting thing that you said about sort of having to take your own, like, birthday celebrations into your own hands.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that's something that, because I can kind of see that happening in my own life and in like the lives of people around me, like having to, with COVID, having to sort of start taking things into your own hands, just because there's so many things that are up in the air, you know.
Yeah.
You can't really rely on, like, it's harder to rely on other people to plan your life when, like, planning things is so difficult, you know. It's like, if you're planning it, at least, like, you know what is, like, you know what you're trying to make happen, you know what you're comfortable with. And it can, you know, it's better than not having anything at all.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. And, you know, people are, like, busy and things of that manner. We grow up and we become, like, more adultish every year. And so I can't expect people to kind of just drop things that they've already had planned, or to take time out of their busy schedules, because I'm busy myself. So, and it's like you said, you know, if I'm planning it, I know exactly what I want to do, and I can't be disappointed, you know, unless something is out of my control. But you know, you want to go into it where you're not setting so many expectations where you can get disappointed in the end. You just want to have a good time, you know? So, and I think people did that when it came to starting their own businesses and things of that manner, you know? They weren't able to go to work. I know some people who did not get unemployment the whole time. And so they had to kind of take their finances into their own hands and create their own businesses. And some of those that I know are doing like really well now. So I think that there was like this reliance on government and government officials to make everything right. And I don't know, that's kind of in a weird space now, because while I feel like there are people out there now that are just like, well, we don't need to rely on higher powers or anything like that to get what we want and need out of life. At the same time, everybody is so political and politically aligned, and it's just, it's a weird space. Mm-hmm. It's a really weird space. I also think with COVID, people, you know, the whole tech, like we're on Zoom now and we don't have to be in the office and stuff like that. But I think it really did something different for social media and how people feel so entitled to not even think before they speak, you know? So that's a whole topic in itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Am I getting us off track?
No.
Okay.
There's no on track.
Okay, good.
You're saying some really interesting things. You're making me think. That's I'm wondering, I'm wondering, do you feel like there are any other ways that you sort of, you feel like you started to kind of take things into your own hands? Like, do you feel that sort of, that feeling of like, you know, trying to plan your birthday,
control?
Do you feel like that, you can see that in any other parts of your life?
When it came to my job, I really tried to put myself in a mindset where I wasn't relying on my boss to, this is gonna sound weird, but like give me my happiness at my job. And it's just because I had been in customer service for so long. And so I was really determined to take more time for myself if I needed it at my job. And like, if I felt sick, don't come into work, you know? If it wasn't a great day at the office, then I make it a great day for myself and for hopefully for others around me. I tried to take more control of the things that I could take control over. And at that time, it was like my job and the environment at my job.
Yeah.
But that was a fight.
Yeah.
That was a fight in itself. I remember it was this one time that, you know, you get sick leave. You get sick leave, you use sick leave. But it was this one time that I came in and I wasn't feeling well. Another girl also was not feeling well, right? It was ironic because I wanted to text her and tell her, you know, I ain't coming to work today, but I came. And she wanted to do the same for me. And so my boss walked in. And we're sitting there, and she was like, oh, how are y'all doing? And we were like, yeah, we're not feeling our best today. And she rolls her eyes, I mean, all the way to the back of her head, blows out this exaggerated breath, and stomps to her office. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, this is gonna be interesting today. This is going to be really interesting today. And so we had a meeting right afterwards, and I didn't say anything in the meeting. I was just, you know, sitting there. And all I could think about was, I am not about to let this woman get to me today. I came into this office. I'm already not feeling well. I'm not going to let her get to me today. And she was in there, and she was crying and doing all of this emotional stuff. And I'm just sitting there like, if I really don't want her to get to me today, I should just leave. And so that's what I did. I left.
Yeah.
you know, and just, I don't know, as far as like people being so politically one-sided, at that job, I saw a lot of that where, I don't know, people were just kind of acting without regards to others or how they felt, which I feel like is probably one of the worst things that came out of COVID and the end of the Trump era and, you know, just people's lack of loving others or trying to understand. And the thing about it is there are some topics that people will never understand. But just because you don't understand it doesn't mean that it's wrong. It doesn't mean that it should hurt you so bad where you have to yell and fight and say things. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Like I had heard a lot of people say that COVID was a good thing because it slowed people down. It made people really, you know, rely on people more and things of that manner. And I agree. But on the other hand, we cannot forget that COVID, during that time, a lot of people were able to, like, I don't know, like, simmer and fester within themselves and just later on try to spill out their selves on people and hurt people, you know? So, yeah.
Do you feel like you're, that, like, COVID has made you more or less, like, emotionally resilient?
Yes. Yeah. And I think it's just like it goes back to that job that I had. You know, you're told you go to work, you get a good job. You work there for years on top of years on top of years, and you get retirement, and you stay at this job regardless of how people treat you. And then COVID happened where we were able to go home, and we were able to work from computers and, you know, kind of just remove all of the outside variables that stress us at our jobs and things of that manner. Now, I didn't do that, but not being at the job was great too. But, you know, you're able to get into a space like that, and then you realize, well, I didn't have to take on all of that stress anyway. You know, I didn't have to be talked to like that anyway. I don't have to work myself to death anyway to get things done, you know? And so it was just so important to me not to get to that place anymore. And I don't want to go back to that place because you're not able to pour into the people around you, and pour into the people you love, the people that you don't know. You know, if you are tired like that all the time and you're taking on all of the emotions from bad bosses or bad coworkers and things of that manner. So, yeah, I feel like emotionally I grew a lot during COVID. Just because of that and having patience for people, you know, definitely patience for people. Mm-hmm. Not even like disrespectful people, but just, you know, people who feel a little bit more opinionated. And it's like, you don't have to lash back at that person or anything like that. You honestly, you don't have to say anything. You can sit there and you just listen and go about your day like it never happened. So yeah, emotionally, I feel like COVID did me some good. Mentally, I feel like COVID did me some good. It was hard at first, you know, not being able to go out, streets being so empty, but, yeah, it was okay.
And have you, so after sort of that period of time when you weren't able to see your parents and grandparents, I guess eventually you since then you have been able to see them?
Yeah, so as far as my grandmother is concerned, I've only seen her once. But that's on my behalf. With COVID, what we did was I was just able to like sit at the screen door and see her there. So I talked to her through glass, basically. As far as my parents are concerned, I would start going over there, and my mom would not let us in the door until we sprayed ourselves with Lysol. And then she would watch us from the door to make sure we did it. And then we would come in, and we would have to wipe our hands off, and my dad didn't want us near him. And sooner or later, after probably like the third or fourth visit, they told us that if we didn't get vaccinated, we couldn't come home anymore. So I had to go and get vaccinated. And yeah. Yeah, they're fine now. They're okay now. But if COVID ever strikes back up again, we're going to have to wash with Lysol before we walk into the house.
And you have siblings?
Yeah, I have a little sister, a little brother. Okay. Yeah, 2 years. My sister's 2 years from me. My brother is five.
Okay. Mhm. Are they around here as well, or?
My sister is in Charlotte. She works at Wells Fargo, and my brother actually lives back home in Berkeley County, and he just became a cop.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you keep up with them?
Yeah, so we've always been close. My mom raised us really close, so talking with them was no problem during the pandemic. I'm trying to remember specifically, but somewhere in there, my brother went to basic training, because he's also in the military. And so he was talking about how they had to get COVID shots there before they went off and things of that manner. But usually we talk almost once every week. You know, Facebook lets you video message with multiple people, so that's usually how we communicate with each other. So that definitely didn't slow down.
Yeah,
I was still talking to them all the time. I think me and my sister and brother went fishing one time during COVID, maybe twice. We go fishing like every year. Yeah, I mean, in the country, it's like so much open air and stuff like that. We didn't really worry about too much of anything. And we fish on like this huge pier. So, yeah, we were real comfortable doing that.
So is this on like the coast or?
So Bursey is not on the coast. It's still some land, you know, and then you get to the coast. But it is up there. Like, we're an hour from Elizabeth City. Okay. And, you know, Elizabeth City is more coastal. But we have a river that runs through Bertie. We got water.
Nice.
We got a beach.
Mm.
Yeah.
That sounds nice.
It is. Yeah. I've never been to the beach, but it's nice.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just hop on a boat and float down to the ocean one of these days, I guess.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know about all that, but I'll definitely go fishing.
Yeah. How do you think since you've moved to Chapel Hill, how do you think living here has sort of shaped your experience of the pandemic?
Well, when I moved to Chapel Hill was last year in July. So I think we were kind of like at the quote-unquote end of it all. While I was here, they got rid of the whole mask mandate. So I don't think it changed that much. Living by myself, this was me living by myself for the first time. My roommate moved to Maryland to get her PhD. So I don't think it changed at all. I spent less gas driving from Durham to, you know, Chapel Hill. But other than that, yeah, living here has been great though. I like it. It's quiet.
Mm-hmm.
A lot quiet.
Yeah, definitely compared to Durham.
Yeah.
Has the pandemic affected your relationship to your faith or spirituality in any way? I don't know if you consider yourself.
I'm very spiritual.
Yeah.
Yes. In my downtime, I feel like I was able to get closer to God. And moving here to Chapel Hill did that too. I'm basically by myself here. And so, God is very important to me. So, since moving, I just realized through the pandemic that I couldn't do any of the things that I've done by myself, the jobs and things of that manner. I couldn't do it by myself. And so I think with the pandemic, it showed me that while I may not be in control of everything, there is someone who is. And, you just gotta rely on them and pray real hard. Pray very, very hard for anything and everything that you want. And if you follow him, he'll give you the desires of your heart, you know? And so that's why I was so glad when I got this job, because I really wanted to leave the insurance job that I was in. And I really did not want to go to another job that I was not invested in, because I was tired of doing that. And so it was nothing but a blessing that I got this job. Like, in the time that it came and all, nothing but a blessing. So I've definitely become more spiritual. I don't know about religious. Like, I go to Bible study when I'm supposed to. Mm-hmm. That's about it. But spiritually, yes. Yeah. I think I increased in my spirituality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you wish you had done differently earlier in the pandemic?
Yeah. Yes, of course. I wish I would have really focused on my thesis while I was working in insurance. Yeah. Just because I'd be done with it by now. When I get into a job, I really throw myself into it because I try to do my best at, whatever I'm doing. And I could have gotten a lot of research done, like a lot of the reading aspect done during that time. Not even like the interviews, just the reading. But, it's coming slowly but surely now. Yeah. So, yeah.
Can you say what you're working on? Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm studying Black women educators during the Civil Rights Movement in Berkeley County, North Carolina, looking at their lives, what they did within the school system as well as, like, the surrounding community. I'm going to be pulling in a little bit of, the Black church during that time. And because, like, a majority of the work that I do, I kind of, like, try to do it where here is the problem, here is the history behind the problem, and this is the solution. I'm trying to just put that solution on paper. I haven't figured it out yet. I know some things that I would like to come from the project, but I want a in stone set solution that I can start implementing right after. Mm-hmm. So just keep your ears open for that, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess.
I'm looking forward to hearing more about it.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
It's coming, like I said. It's slow work, but it's good work.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like it. What do you want to be sure that future generations will remember about the COVID pandemic?
What do I want younger generations? Where are we?
Future generations.
Future
just
generations.
People in the future. What do you want them to know about this time?
I want future generations to know to do their own research and to have their own mindsets on things and not just be, pushed and pulled around by social media and government officials and, all of these different things, because the world that we live in is not always what it seems, And I feel like during this time, a lot of people were relying on the news so heavily to cover COVID and vaccinations and what's going on around the world that they weren't even thinking for themselves, like how some things just did not make sense. So I would tell people to, you know, just rely on your own common sense, you know, take things in, but really, like, listen to your own spirit of discernment, because people will tell you anything, mm-hmm. you know? And remember what country this is, you know? People were so gullible, I think, mm-hmm. during COVID. They were really scared and just willing to rely on anything. And that goes right back to why my faith increased, because I just realized that you cannot rely on man to, especially men that know nothing about you, don't even know you exist, to make decisions that are going to benefit you, you know, 100%. Doesn't work like that, mm-hmm. you know? So, that's what I would tell future generations.
Okay. Well, it's like 2 minutes until 12. Is 12 when you have to get back out there?
Oh, well, I have lunch.
Oh, you have lunch.
Okay. Yeah.
Can I ask you one last quick question?
Mm-hmm.
Are there any, like, books or music or TV shows, movies, like entertainment of any kind that were especially important to you during the pandemic?
Yes. There are these books called The Circle Series by Ted Dekker. That's Dekker. I had read those when I was younger. That series connects with another series called, like, the Lost Book series. Mm. And so I don't know if I could call him, like, a Christian author or anything like that, but he definitely uses, like, certain symbolisms within the book. But read the Circle series. I think it starts off with black, red, white, and then green. Because in that series, a virus gets out into the world, but people are gonna die in like 3 weeks, you know? And it's this one guy who is trying to, like, save the world. You know, it's really good. And I had started reading it a little bit before the pandemic had started.
No way.
And then when it started, I was just sitting here like, whew.
Oh,
you
yikes.
Know? So, it was, like, really good. I would tell anybody to read those books.
Cool.
As far as things to watch, no. I think everybody was watching kind of the same things around that time. Tiger King. Mm. Did you watch that?
I haven't seen it, no.
Woo! Funny stuff. Funny stuff. So, yeah, you know, watch everything that came out during 2020.
Yeah.
Just hilarious things uh-huh. came out then.
Yeah.
But that's it. Yeah, cool. That's all.
Awesome. Well, is there anything else that you feel like we didn't touch on? I feel like there is so much that we didn't touch on, but also so much that we covered. But is there anything that is especially important for you that you want to...
No, I think we did great.
Okay.
It's not much I would, let's see. Nope, it's not much I would add.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if there are any, something else that we do with these, if there are any pictures or any other kind of memorabilia that you think that you want to include with your interview to have on available on in the online archive.
Okay.
We'd also love to see any of those.
Cool.
And share those. So
great.
Just something to think about. But cool. All right. Well, I'm gonna stop the recording.